Welcome or welcome back to Purpose Church. My name is Eric, and our prayer is that today's message helps you connect with God, connect with others, and connect others with God. Whatever your next step is with Jesus, we are here to walk with you because we love you, and most importantly, God loves you. We hope to see you in person, on social media, or at purposechurch.com. Now let's open our Bibles and see what God has for us. Hey, Purpose Church family, my name is Eric, and I'm one of the pastors here, and I love you, and most importantly, God loves you. And today is one of my favorite days of the year. It is Pastor Swap Sunday. Now, David, would you tell everybody, what is Pastor Swap Sunday?
Hello, everyone. My name is David. I am the Purpose in Español pastor. Pastor Swap basically means that I will be preaching in all three English services, so I'll spend some time with you while Pastor Eric is over in the Spanish congregation preaching to them.
That's right. And we are going to be so blessed today to have Pastor David here preaching. And not only is Pastor David an amazing preacher, but he is an incredible ministry leader. Over the last 3 years that he's been a part of our Purpose in Español Spanish Fellowship here, it has tripled in size. There are a number of life groups forming. There's an incredible volunteer team. And God is using Pastor David and his wife, Esmeralda, and their 6 children to do an amazing work here at Purpose Church. And so I am so excited for today, and I want to encourage all of you, Purpose Church family, would you put your hands together and would you give a round of applause and welcome Pastor David.
Well, hello, Purpose family. I'm so excited to be here with you today, and today is an exciting day as we start a new series in the book of Jeremiah. The series is titled, Return to Me. Warnings from the book of Jeremiah, and today's message is titled, A Call from a Faithful God. A Call from a Faithful God. Just to tell you a little bit about my life story, I grew up in church. I credit my father for being that individual that the Lord used to guide me to Jesus. And, you know, back in the day, as we went to church, church was pretty different than what we experience today. Worship time was at least 1 hour. I'm sure that the musicians would be happy to know that they would have been playing for about an hour or so. After worship would come a time of special songs or testimony, in which the floor was basically open to whoever wanted to come up and sing a special song. And the musicians, this was a nerve-wracking time for the musicians because the song that they would play was not pre-planned. The musicians didn't know what key the person was going to sing it in, or had never even heard of the song before. And the special songs would sometimes start off in one key and one rhythm and then end off in another key and another rhythm altogether. It was a very interesting time where messages would last about an hour, maybe an hour and a half, and not to mention the three-hour services. We would also have bread and coffee at the end of service. I was one of those kids that would be woken up underneath the pews after service because those services were so long. Needless to say, church has always been a big part of life for me. But I had other plans for my life, plans that didn't involve being a pastor. You know, the Bible says that whoever aspires to be an overseer desires to a noble task, but I wanted to do my own thing. I wanted to go down the path that I designed for my life. I wanted to go to the university. I wanted to climb the corporate ladder. And there is where the Lord's calling basically gave me no choice as I found myself working in the corporate world. God placed a call on my life, over my life, that I could not walk away from. I felt that I knew I had a calling to be a pastor for a very, very long time, but I resisted. The last thing that I wanted to do was ministry. We all have a calling from the Lord. And some choose to obey it, while others choose not to. But the Lord, dear Purpose, the Lord does not cease to call everyone to return to Him. to turn to him in obedience. You see, Purpose Church, you have been set apart for a purpose that requires you to trust God. You have been set apart for a purpose that requires you to trust God. Read with me Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 6. The word of the Lord came to me saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." And in verse 6, we see Jeremiah's response. He says, "Alas, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am too young." As we can see in the word of God, God speaks directly to Jeremiah and lets him know that he had a divinely assigned or designed purpose for his life. God had formed Jeremiah. He had knew him. He had set him apart. He had appointed him to speak his words. You know, God knew him before even being formed in the womb. That's what the text says. He was being formed in the womb and God already knew him. God had already looked at him even before his mother had a chance to hold him in his arms and look at him in his eyes. This is a wonderful evidence, dear church, that God values the unborn life and that God has a plan for every single life, even since conception. The task before Jeremiah was a task that was greater than him. It was an impossible task if we think of it humanly speaking. But God set him apart for a specific call. All that Jeremiah needed to do is just trust God. Trust him. When Jeremiah responds saying, "Alas," this was not a mention of excitement, of him basically waiting for the Lord to call him and basically saying, "Finally, Lord, you're calling me." No, this was an expression of how he felt. He felt overwhelmed. He felt inadequate for the call. This was an expression of profound grief. His message was not going to be a message of encouragement, a message of that would uplift the people, but this would be a message of warning to the people of Judah. Scholars think that Jeremiah was anywhere between 13 and 20 years old, but most of the scholars assign the age of 17, around 17 for Jeremiah. So yes, he was young. Yes, this was a task that was much greater than him because he lacked life experience. He was unproven. He was intimidated by this call from the Lord. It makes sense that he would feel this way. He was young, but Jeremiah was called to stand up before a society, before the people of Judah that were deeply in idolatry, to warn them. This can be easily classified as a difficult calling. Would you agree? Now, why? Why would you agree to this statement? Because people typically are only open to feedback when they perceive that feedback as positive. But God told Jeremiah what to answer when these people would wonder, "Why are you speaking to us this way?" If we read Jeremiah chapter 16, verses 10 through 12, we read, "When you tell these people all this and they ask you, 'Why has the Lord decreed such a great disaster against us? What wrong have we done? What sin have we committed against the Lord our God?' Then say to them, 'It is because your ancestors forsook me, declares the Lord, and followed other gods and served and worshiped them. They forsook me and did not keep my law. But you have behaved more wickedly than your ancestors.'" You see, Judah, the people of Judah worshiped, but they didn't worship God. They worshiped idols. They worshiped idols and ignored God's commandment. Their sin would lead them to great destruction. And, you know, God had already warned the people of Judah that this would be coming if they didn't follow his commandments, if they didn't maintain themselves obedient to God. If we look at Leviticus chapter 17 all the way through 26, we see what we describe as God's code of conduct. This was a warning many, many years before. God had warned them he would lay waste their land. He would scatter them among the nations. So Jeremiah's call was a last call to the people of Judah to return to him before he would execute the punishment over them. You see, the word Hebrew, in Hebrew, the Hebrew word shuv means to return. And it appears about 45 times throughout the text, throughout the book of Jeremiah. In fact, if we count all the grammatical forms, prefixes, suffixes, and that are attached to the root word, we see this 111 times in the book of Jeremiah. This only tells us that God is a merciful God, that he calls us time and time again, seeking that we would be obedient to his call to return to him. He tells us, return to me. God wanted Judah to turn away from its sin and to turn to him. Jeremiah is clearly set apart for this purpose. And now Jeremiah just needs to trust God. Church family, the word today, the word of God is a special message for us. You know, God has called you. God has called every single one of you with a specific purpose for your life. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." And if we read the next verse, verse 29, it tells us what that purpose is, that we would become more like his son. God's purpose for your life is for you to live in loving communion with him. Now, some of you may say, I'm already living in communion with God. I just took communion a few moments ago. But what is the next step God is calling you to take? What is the next step he is asking you to be obedient in? How is the Lord challenging you to trust him despite any feelings of inadequacy? How is he asking you to trust him? You know, when I left the corporate job that gave us a really good income, we were living very well. God was asking me to trust him. A couple months before this happened, we had invested all of our savings into our mortgage. We wanted to pay off our mortgage as fast as possible. We even refinanced the house to a 15-year mortgage. And the mortgage basically doubled in size. It was a difficult moment for me to kind of think, okay, where am I going to get the money to pay for this mortgage? God was asking me to trust him. God was calling me, and all I needed to do is trust him. What is God calling you to do? What is the next step? Yes, you might feel inadequate. Yes, you might have a whole bunch of different excuses or different reasons why you should not follow God's call, but trust God. God is with you. The faithful God who calls you will equip you for the journey. Let me repeat that again. The faithful God who calls you will equip you for the journey. Read with me verses 7 through 10. "But the Lord said to me, 'Do not say I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you,' declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, 'I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant.'" Jeremiah felt inadequate. Would you agree that he was maybe not the most prepared individual for the task? But God reassures him. He had set Jeremiah apart. Was he young? Yes, he was young. But when have our limitations limited the power of God? When have our limitations been so much of a limitation that they even limit God? Our limitations absolutely do not limit the power of God. You know, Jeremiah must not look at what he lacks, but concentrate on obeying God. He must not be afraid of the people of Judah, but he should fear God instead. It is Charles Spurgeon that on this verse, he said, "We ought to be so afraid of God that we are afraid of nobody else. We ought to be so concentrated and so focused on obeying God that we would not obey anything else, any other circumstance, or anyone else." You know, sometimes we take different roads in life because we are so interested or so worried about what people around us think of us. But you know, really the only opinion that matters is the opinion that God has over us. What does God think of you? Have you obeyed his call? Are you obeying his call? Are you praying and continuing to walk towards God's calling for your life? You know, your call may not be a simple one. I mean, Jeremiah's message to the people of Judah was mostly negative. I would say it's 2/3 negative. He said, you've been called to uproot, to tear down, to destroy, and to overthrow. And he only counters that with build and plant. So Jeremiah faced a very difficult task ahead of him. Throughout the 40 years of his ministry, he faced opposition. And for me to say opposition is basically not saying it exactly what happened. He went through isolation. He went through emotional trauma. He went through persecution. He was beaten. He was thrown into a muddy cistern to die. He went through moments of loneliness, 40 years of loneliness. A preacher, can you imagine, how would Pastor Eric feel if he was preaching to people for 40 years and there was not one conversion, there was not one baptism? This was a difficult calling for Jeremiah. I think if God would have given him a detailed list of what would have happened to him throughout these 40 years, he may have seriously doubted to obey God's call. But God's promise was there. God tells him, "Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you." Then in a symbolic act, God reaches and touches Jeremiah's mouth. Jeremiah would become God's mouthpiece to warn a nation that has strayed far away from God. Then we read in the text that he gets these two visions. In one vision, in verse 11, he sees this branch of an olive tree. Why an olive tree? Well, an olive tree was the first tree that during spring would bud, the first tree to bud in the springtime. This symbolized that God would fulfill the prophecy that he was to give Jeremiah promptly. Then in verses 13 through 14, we see that he saw a boiling pot tilting towards Judah from the north. And because of the literary context, we can then confirm that this meant that the invading army of Babylon would come and invade Judah. This was a warning at this point. But God wanted his people to return to him. You see, Jeremiah 52, verses 12 and 13, says that on the 10th day of the fifth month, in the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, Nebuzaradan, commander of the imperial guard who served the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem. He set fire to the temple of the Lord, the royal palace, and all of the houses of Jerusalem. Every important building he burned down. Jeremiah's message was not a message that would make people happy, but it was God's message, and he had to deliver it to them. God knew Jeremiah was afraid, and God tells him not to be. I know what you're thinking. You're saying that's easily said, but it's hard to live that way. It's hard to trust God. It's easier said than done. In times of uncertainty, Jeremiah would need to remember not necessarily the task at hand, even though that was important, but overall he would need to remember who had called him. And that was a faithful God that provides what he would need along the way. How many times have you felt that you not only do not know how, but also feel fear at the task at hand? Perhaps you're saying that this task in front of me, I know, Lord, you're calling me, but how could I do that which you are calling me to do? It is impossible for me. How many times have you felt that way? You know, Pastor Eric and I were talking before first service, and we were sharing with each other how we both feel nervous every time we stand before the people of God to preach. Obviously, his nervousness is more because you guys are a much greater crowd than in Purpose in Español. But in a way, you know, this is a loving reminder from the Lord that reminds us that we cannot do this with our own strength, with our own abilities, that we must depend on him. You know, the people that worshiped just a few moments ago stand up here in front of you. And I'm sure they're feeling a little bit nervous, you know. Have I warmed up my vocal cords? Am I going to go off key? Am I going to go off tempo? Am I going to start singing a verse in the song that perhaps was not the one, and I'll be embarrassed in front of this whole crowd? But God is with us every single time. And yes, you know, if we make mistakes, if we stumble through words, it is only a reminder that we're human and we need to seek his help. That is why the psalmist in Psalm 121 cries out to the Lord. He first asks a question and he says, I lift my eyes unto the mountains. From where will my help come? And he answers the same question, and he says, my help will come from the Lord. And he qualifies who that Lord is. It is that Lord that created the heavens and the earth. It is that Lord that created all that exists, that is with you during that call. Just obey him. Just trust him in the call that he has set you on. His faithfulness would cause Jeremiah to trust God every step of the way. God continually calls us to trust him in the process. He is faithful to provide. Church, even in the face of fear, we stand ready, trusting in his deliverance. Even in the face of fear, we stand ready, trusting in his deliverance. Jeremiah 1, 17 through 19 reads, get yourself ready. Stand up and say to them whatever I command you. Do not be afraid or terrified by them, or I will terrify you before them. Today I have made you a fortified city, an iron pillar, and a bronze wall to stand against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but will not overcome you. For I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. You know, there's a simple instruction here that Jeremiah receives, and we could also apply it to our lives. And that simple instruction basically says, get yourself ready and obey. Don't be afraid. Just trust the Lord. Everyone would be against Jeremiah. Important people, people of authority would come against him, but God would be beside him. and would make him invincible. And I love this imagery where the Lord mentions a fortified city, an iron pillar, and a bronze wall. And this would not be the imagery that God would use if it were describing Jeremiah only because of who Jeremiah was. This is really a description of the circumstances that surrounded Jeremiah, which pointed to that God that was in control, that God that is invincible, that God that is with us every step of the way. He would have the most powerful and influential figures in Judah against him, but God would act in his favor. This kind of reminds us of Joshua, you know. Right before going into the promised land, Joshua was given the task. He was called by God to lead the people into the promised land. Now, this was a difficult task for Joshua. Yes, he walked alongside Moses, and I'm sure he got some tips from the way Moses led the people. But this was difficult for him. Moses was dead. The leader that received God's law was no longer with him. There's no way that he could have picked up his cell phone and called Moses and say, "Hey, Moses, what do I do in this case?" But God comforts him. God gives him encouragement. And we see in Joshua chapter 1, verse 7, where it says, "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go." Like Joshua, Jeremiah's victory would have its source in God as he stepped into obedience to God. We will see Jeremiah throughout the book of Jeremiah struggling and having an internal battle to keep obedient to God's calling. But Jeremiah proves faithful at the end as he trusts a faithful God. And Jeremiah becomes bolder in his actions and in his obedience in trusting God. Jeremiah had a huge task ahead of him. And he was used by the Lord to call people that were far away from him to return to God. Now, the task at hand for each of us is in the kingdom of God, and it is much bigger than us. The bad news is that you can't do it. The good news is that you will do it because God is with you. You can't do it alone, but you can trust you are not alone. You just need to trust God, stand ready, and in the face of fear, just trust that God will deliver you, will provide. Trust him in the process by obeying God. You can also use this text. Yes, the book of Jeremiah wasn't written to Purpose Church in Pomona, California, in the year 2026. It was written to people of Judah many, many years ago. But in application, we can also take this word and apply it to ourselves, because the God that promised this to Jeremiah is the same God that walks with you today. It's the same God that calls you. What is that calling that God has for you? I'm sure that if you ask different pastors, they might tell you they didn't know where God was going to lead them to. I'm sure that if you ask many of the successful individuals in life, in any realm, they might tell you that they didn't know exactly where God was leading them to. All they did was trust God. You see, many times as Christians, we want a very detailed program of every single thing that's going to happen every single day of our lives for the next century or decades. We want to know. But all you really need to care about is trusting God on that next step. Make it easy for yourself. Don't worry about what's coming 10 years from now. Worry about that next step that the Lord is asking you to take so that you may maintain yourself in the will of God, obedient to Him. They will fight against you. They will. Circumstances will rise against you, but you will not be overcome because the Lord is with you and He will rescue you. That is what the word says. You know, it is okay to give it all up to obey the call that God has over your life. It is okay to give it all up for the call. I remember Jim Elliot, an American missionary that did just that. In honor of God's call to preach the gospel to a hostile Ecuadorian tribe, when he met them, he was speared to death. I know, that's a little bit aggressive, right? It's probably not the example you're looking to hear in order to obey God's call. But we might wonder, was this a failure? Did his life end outside of God's will? He was doing God's will. And I would say, no, it was not a failure. It was the instrument that God wanted to use to bring him into his presence. Can you imagine that moment with Jim Elliot? Walks into the presence of the Lord and meets Him face to face. That is our future. That is the way that of obedience that God wants us to take. You know, years before his death, in a journal entry in 1949, he wrote this: "He is no fool who gives away or gives what he cannot keep. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." Like Jeremiah, we are all called to work in God's kingdom. You may not be called to be a pastor. You may not be called to be a missionary. You may not be called to lay your life down as you're preaching the gospel, but you are called to preach the gospel. That is one of the callings that I can tell you dogmatically that God has over your life. For sure, He has this call over your life. He has called you to preach the gospel. Matthew 28:19 says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." We have a calling. Our callings may look different in some ways, the same in others, but we all have a calling from the Lord. We follow in the steps of Jeremiah as we obey the Lord, but most importantly, we follow in the steps of Jesus. You know, Jesus came in obedience to the will of his Father when he says in John 6:38, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me." Jesus came through his death. And through his death, we are able now to return to God and be reconciled with him. That is why we read in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 18 and 19, "All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sin against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation." Christians present here today or listening online, trust God in your calling. He will not fail you. He will not forsake you. He is faithful, and as a faithful God, he has called you. Even if you feel afraid of the journey, even though you may pass or go through uncertain times, trust that God has promised to be with you He will provide. No matter how your call looks, no matter what your call involves, He is with you. Now, friend, if you're listening to me in this auditorium or online, will you trust your future to Jesus? The Bible clearly says that we are all sinners, and that the only earnings that we get through sin is death. We have all sinned. But the Word of God also tells us that Jesus came to this earth and died in our place so that we may place our faith in Jesus and through faith in Jesus be saved. You see, Jesus is the only way. Not any philosophies, not any works, no matter how much good works you do, Jesus is the only way. Will you trust Jesus with your future? Do you hear His voice saying, "Return to me"? How will you answer His call? Let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for Your word. We're thankful for Your call. We're thankful for Your promise, which we can trust You will fulfill. Your promise of being with us. All You're asking us is to trust You, to obey You. I pray for all those, Father, that are receiving Your call right now, that You would give them life where there is death, and that You would give them faith in Your Son, Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name.